From Noah's sons to modern superpowers, trace the prophetic path of Japheth's descendants across history and scripture. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Hey, everybody. This is David again. We are having another fun study. I got to tell an AI guy how to pronounce that, though. It's Japheth. So anyway, JD, what do you think? I got JD right. Maybe
well,
Japheth.
Yeah, you got me right. I was trying to teach that thing how to say that properly. And I gave
maybe
up.
Put an F in it. J-A-F-E-T-H. Maybe we'll say it right now.
Anyway, we got through it, and people understand, you know. And this is going to be really cool, this thing here. So, anyway, we're going to talk about that.
We talk about the end time stuff all the time.
Yeah,
and then we talk about how Genesis is all part of end times. Anyway, it's all laid out in there. But let me ask you this: when was the last time you heard a sermon from your pastor all about all the lineages of Japheth?
Never. Not once.
We hear Shem all the time. You're an anti-Shemite. We call him anti-Shemite now. But it literally came from Shem, which, his descendants was Abraham, Paul.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That's where the anti-Semite comes in. But why don't you pray us into the show, and then we got a couple of announcements to make before we get
absolutely
into Japheth all his lineage and how it ties to end time prophecy.
There you go. Father, we come to you and we ask for your guidance today as we explore parts of the Bible that many people, including myself, have skipped over, just thinking that it really just wasn't all that important. And we've got to understand that if you wrote it, it is important, and we need to look into it. And today, please lead David in teaching this lesson to where everybody, including myself, understand it a little bit better. And, of course, we hope to lead people to you and to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
David, I'm just going to say it right off top, okay? In Let's reading do it. Genesis, now, I forget how far it goes in the Bible, okay? But if we get into this section of the Bible where we got so-and-so begat, and they begat, and somebody else begat, and here we go with another begat, and they begat somebody else, and they begat somebody else, and it gets so crazy that I'm sitting there reading the Bible and thinking, is the begatting ever going to stop us get to the good stuff, you know? I've even tried skipping ahead a little bit, you know, skip ahead. Well, no, they're still begatting, you know, and it never made sense to me. Now, I understand that the lineage of Christ is important, so I understood that part of it, but the rest of it made no sense until you sent me 38 pages to look at, of which I've looked at about two. So I'm looking forward to getting into this study. Anyway, before we even get there, though, we do need to let people know about a few changes that have taken place here. Number one, I want to let people know that Revelation Radio, which is our true home, is a recognized tax-exempt religious ministry under the 508c1a. And a 508c1a is simply a tax-exempt status. It's nothing to be scared about. We also have changed over from the U.S. Press Association to the Evangelical Press Association. Both David and I joined it just last night. And this has caused a couple of changes also to where Revelation Radio News Network is now a true network all to itself. And inside that organization also is the East Texas News for Revelation Radio, because we are the only only community radio station in all of Grand Saline, Texas. And so we want to give them some special acknowledgement there. But just for a moment, I want to go back to the thing of 501c. How come you're not a 501c? Well, it's because a 501c has to be non-political. They cannot say anything that the government or somebody might disagree with. Whereas, if you look down at the bottom here for the 508C1A, it's protection of religious liberty, which offers broader protections under the First Amendment. And so the status is more protective against the government, and that's the reason that we made that switch. And just to let you know also, there's an organization out there that does have a show on this station every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. In East Texas, it's on KRRB 1700 AM, or of course, it's available worldwide at revelationradio.net, and that is the C2K report. David, you're also a member of that, as I understand, and so you might have some comments on that, and then we'll get into the study.
Yeah, I'm the explainer. Come up with all these brilliant ideas, and it's like, how do I get this across? Give it to me. I'll figure out how to make people understand.
There you go.
That's my only gift, is I can help you explain things.
He's a good teacher. David's a teacher. He's gifted.
Yeah, preaching? No. Nah. I don't like people. Teaching is God gave me the ability to just take all those big thoughts and everything and boil them down into pablum.
Amen. I can testify that's true. Yes, sir.
So that's what happened. So, okay, is that part done then?
Yeah, that part's done. Now we can get into the study. Yeah. I'm fired up.
You remember Japheth, right?
Well, I recognize the name. And mm-hmm. if you want me to explain anything other than that, I'm sorry.
No, it was Noah. Noah and the boys. Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Basically, you know, we were talking about the flood and all that, so we're moving out of the flood. Mm-hmm. And Noah plants a vineyard. He makes grapes. And then he's like, wow, this is really nice. I think I'll make some wine. He was drunk, okay? And then Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, there's a lot more to this story in Genesis, but we're not going to go there today. I wanted to get into...
I just threw it up on the screen real quick, David, for yep. everybody could see there. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog. I'm not going to try that one. Javan, Tubal, and Meshes.
Sons of Gun.
Yeah, all that. then you went on to, I believe, Genesis 9, right?
Kind of backing up a little bit so we get this. So they've been hanging out, at, you know, just for a little while outside the ark.
Yeah, there it is, Noah, right there. There it is. Yeah. Okay.
So Noah... You know, he plants a vineyard, and then he goes to grapes, and then he gets drunk, and then Ham looks at his father. So there's a lot of conjecture here. Some people mm-hmm. say, well, it's a homosexual thing. But nakedness, it could mean naked, but it can also mean metaphorically naked. Mm. Like if I want to just... like ask for forgiveness, I just get myself naked before you. It's not really like without any clothes. Shem and Japheth took a garment basically and walked on their shoulders backward and covered their father up.
Yeah, that's got me confused. Okay, because you're gonna have to explain this one. Okay, I got this blanket, right? And I'm and I'm holding it here, and my brother's over here. He's got his thing and he's holding it, and we're both backing up, and we're not going to look at him now. Okay, we're not going to look at him.
Right.
And we're backing in, and we're hoping we're not going to trip over somebody's skateboard and throw this down on the.
Skateboards were a thing yet.
I'm just trying to put it in my mind how they did that without seeing him, because it's clear in the Bible they didn't.
Yeah, it's clear. I mean. You know, they didn't have like a bed like we have today, too. He's probably just like, you know, lying on some
pillow,
maybe some
like
hay
stuff.
Or something that he made up. But think of him living in a tent, you know, or in a cave or something at that time. Or maybe there's even conjecture that they, you know, they took the ark apart to make, you know, houses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't think about that.
Explain, though, right off the top here. why it was so important for them not to look. I mean, okay, I understand the man's naked, but they're men too, you know. And I mean, I've seen naked men when I was playing sports, and you know, it wasn't any thrill for me. They were just naked guys walking around, right? So, what was the deal? Why? How come they?
It's
had to go in backwards and all this stuff.
It implies a shame and disgrace.
Okay.
Okay, because here he was, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, the father of all civilization now, because he is.
Okay.
And there he is, lying drunk and stupid. So they basically covered him up.
They just didn't want to
sober up.
Okay. Yeah.
That's really the crux of it all. We can dig into all the metaphorical stuff that it gets into, because there is a lot more. But I just want to point out here that Shem and Japheth were together, but Ham was the one that had a curse down his line.
Yeah, and just because he happened to walk in the tent? Is that right?
Well, it just says he saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. So without any emphasis on anything, mm-hmm. we don't know if he told them, like, "Oh God! Look at get a hold of Dad in here. What's he doing? He's crazy." You know, as opposed to, "Oh no, I saw him. Let's cover him up."
Mm.
He just told his two brothers.
I got you.
Well, we don't get a good idea of
that's
how
a little
he
more.
Told
yeah, that's a little more context there. Unfortunately,
there are other writings, and we'll get into that.
Okay. Okay. I was just going to ask.
You know, would kind of clarify those things, but the main thing here is. I want to talk about Japheth because he's got an important lineage.
Okay.
Now, when we talk about Ezekiel 38 and Isaiah, we talk about all of these different people groups.
Mm-hmm.
When we go back and we come back to here, they're all sons of Japheth.
Yeah, which I'd never noticed before.
Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. And it's like, so this ties in 100% with end time prophecy. Okay, so now Noah, when he woke up, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Okay, so Canaan, you know, the sons of Ham, and then all the way down through Cush and all that, it clearly says, right, they'll be cursed, and a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So we're going to see that all through history. And then he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant."
Okay.
All right, so that's going to be the outline for where we're going and why we see certain things all through history with certain people groups.
Okay.
Now, Noah lived after the flood 350 years, which means he spent about 50 years with Abraham. So that's pretty cool. Most people don't realize that either.
Yeah.
But in verse chapter 10, verse 2, we see the sons of Japheth are Gomer, right? How many times we heard that in prophecy?
Uh-huh.
Magog. Everybody's heard of Magog.
Right.
Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras.
Right.
All right. But then Gomer had sons, Ashkenaz, right?
Right.
How many people haven't heard of the Ashkenazi Jews?
Okay.
Okay. Yep, and Ripta and Togarma.
Okay.
Matter of fact, some people surmise that the Ashkenaz, they're sons of Gomer, or therefore sons of Japheth and not sons of Shem, and they are the ones who say they are Jews but are not.
Okay.
They're people that go down that road of the Ashkenazis. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But
David, I've got you know me, okay, if I come across a crazy question, I got to ask it. All right, now, Japheth, he did everything right, right? I mean, he's covering up his dad and all that stuff, and he seems like he's a pretty cool guy doing what he's supposed to do. But his sons look like they turn out to be the ones that attack Israel or, you know, set up set up countries or whatever that comes after Israel in Ezekiel 38. And what I'm speaking about there is Magog and Meshech and Gomer and all them. They come at Israel, right?
So and then what's up with that? Other groups who actually became, as we'll see, the European nations.
Okay.
So, and when we see the European Union at the end, what we suspect will be the European Union, the 10 kings and whatnot, that they're coming against Israel as well.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, this is a good guy. But his kids turn out to be, well, I can't say his children.
Yeah, eventually they wind up all screwy.
Yeah.
But all along the way, the Japheth did dwell in the tents of Shem.
Okay. All right.
And so if you think about that, the vast majority of inventions we have today that all of these European nations took advantage of, but we don't see a lot in some of the other nations where they take advantage of all these things. Okay. Your wells are being dug and then they break them and all sorts of stuff like that. I don't want to get too political here, but that's what you see.
Yeah.
But all the benefits of society started with Israel.
Yeah, right. Right.
Basically the Jews are 3% of the population and have something like 90% of the Nobel Prizes for inventing.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what it means, like to dwell in their tents. In other words, we're building society because of what the Jews brought. And not only that, they brought us the gospel.
Right. Now I'm not downplaying. I'm not trying to slam Japheth or anything like that. You know, I'm just trying to figure out where they went wrong or why they went wrong and that kind of thing.
Well, we all went wrong, right? Yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And, so it a little bit bad or a lot bad is all bad.
Yeah,
and that's what we have to realize. So we can say, oh, look, I'm a little bit better. You know, being
here's another crazy question. Then did it kind of like break off maybe where, some of his descendants went this way and,
oh, yeah.
Some went left, some went right, in other words,
Yep.
Okay.
He certainly did.
Okay.
Me being but a British American, my dad's side was German and then back to Dutch, but my mom was British too. So we got everything's like Northern European. So I got a whole lot of Japheth going on here.
And you turned out okay.
Yeah, I'm all right. When I was young, not growing up, but after I was grown up a little bit, I had people tell me, oh, you're a wasp. You should do this. I'm like, a wasp? What are you talking about? I'm not a wasp. You say, yeah, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant,
Oh,
I'm like, oh, so you just think we're better than everybody. Nah, but that's the British part because it's funny because that old joke the Americans will fight to tell you how great they are, but the British just expect you to know without them having to tell you. A little bit of that going on.
Yeah, right.
But we've benefited from all the inventions from Jewish people over these thousands of years. Okay, that's just the way it is. So that's kind of what it's like dwelling in their tents.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me see. So we got Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. Then the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riptah, and Togarma. The sons of Javan are Elisha, Tarshish. Many people suspect that is British. Kittim, Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So we're considered the Gentiles.
Okay, so you're saying that Japheth was considered to be a Gentile?
Yeah, because it basically Gentile is anyone who's not Jewish.
Okay.
And then, but these were the isles of the Gentiles, the Goyim, if you would, and it divided into lands. If you look at Europe, that's how it's all kind of broken up.
Yeah, and that kind of explains my question, too, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were Gentiles, I can understand why they went left all of a sudden, you know. Mm-hmm. I get that. I don't get, Noah was Noah not a Jew either? I mean, he's
no.
I'm confused, David. Okay, Noah's a Jew. And he has a son that's a Gentile. What's up with this?
Well, Gentile is just Goyim. It just means the nations, the isles of
just
the nations.
Okay, so it's just a designation. Okay, all right. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
You're a Jew or you're not a Jew.
Okay.
And so you're a Gentile.
Okay, all right. Well, there's a bunch of Jews in the United States that are Gentiles then.
Could be. I think it's by thing. It's like being from New York.
I'm being facetious here, okay?
Yeah, I found that the people that grew up here in New York, it's kind of like that. You're either from New York or not New York.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I don't think I could be in New York for 5 minutes and people would they'd know I was not from New York. That would be really quick.
Yeah, I gotta teach you how to say coffee. All right, so those are all the kids, and they go a bunch of different ways. So let's kind of dig in a little bit.
Okay, I'm ready.
So Gomer, often associated with the Sumerians or other early European tribes.
Okay.
So his sons, like we said, are Ashkenaz, Riptah, and Togarma. Ashkenaz is sometimes linked to the Scythians or other northern European groups, while Togarma is often connected to the Armenians or other Anatolian peoples.
Okay.
So that's Gomer. And we see, let me see, what else we find about that? So he'll bless them there. There's so many. Wrote a name, Kitchen, Elisha. Okay, he's over there, Riptah. Where is his conclusion? All right, that's that. Sorry, this is a lot of pages.
That's okay.
Ashkenaz is often linked with the Scythians or Northern European tribes. The Scythians were the nomadic people that were known for exceptional horsemanship and archery. Okay, so when we see the Scythians, we see them too. What else do they call them? Not the heathens, but call them something like the heathens. I'll come up with the name in a minute.
Okay.
Scythians were nomadic in there, but they were known to be able to ride a horse, turn around and shoot an arrow backwards while they were riding the horse and be 100%
accurate. That's talent.
Yeah. So they were inhabited the steppes of Eurasia from the Black Sea over to Central Asia. And they were actually pretty big, the Ashkenaz in the ancient world, and they were clashing with empires such as the Persians and the Greeks. So, and they were scared. So a lot of people think they became the Russians as well. So in the rabbinic literature, Ashkenaz is associated with Germany and Northern Europe, eventually giving rise to the term Ashkenazi Jews. Okay, and now you will see them here in the city as well. There's a bunch of different types of what Jews here. But the Ashkenazi, I think those are the ones that they're very religious. And some people think that they did that too. And if anyone has any more information on Ashkenazi, there's obviously a lot more.
My question would be, is that something like, and I know I'm not going to say the name right, but Haredi or something like that over in Israel? That association with Jews, or is that the same, or sort of the same? The one, you know, they got the little curly hair, you know, and all that. There, as a matter of fact, they were even exempted from the military for a while. Now all of a sudden they're not, and there's a big fight going on in internal fight in Israel about that right now.
So Gomer, and we see Gomer and Magog together a lot. We always talk about Ezekiel 38, okay? And they're also linked. Magog was linked to the Scythians, who they think they became the Russians. And that's why the Russians fight so well, I guess. They ride a horse backwards.
Right.
Yeah, don't mess with the Russians. But there's what we see in 38 and 39, and that was just a son of Japheth. Okay, so that's where we know where they're coming from. And, you know, when you're doing prophecy, the guy's not going to know what these people are called, you know, in 2,000, 3,000 years.
Right, right.
So they call them by their name that they know now. So when we see these, it's like, hey, these are these people groups. So Madai, that's generally the Medes. Now, we know who the Medes are. They're an ancient Iranian people who lived in what is now northwestern Iran. And the Medes played a significant role in the fall of the Assyrian Empire and later formed the Medo-Persian Empire with the Persians. So Iran isn't, they're not offspring of Shem. They're offspring of Japheth. So they're kind of Caucasian as well. And we don't kind of realize that because they basically forced the country to be Muslim now.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. we see Persia and the story of Esther and all that too. So they were dwelling together all through that time as well when we consider Iran is in there. And Javan is associated with the Greeks, particularly the Ionians. So Javan's sons include Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Rodanim, or Dodanim, depending on where you get it. And they're often linked to Greek city-states and islands in the Aegean Sea, such as Rhodes and Cyprus. Okay? So when we see Saul of Tarshish, some people think that's actually from Britain. And Britannia is like means tin, and that's what they were known for back then. They would go get tin from there. So Javan is Greeks. Tubal is often identified with the Temareni, a people who lived in northeastern Anatolia. And they were mentioned alongside Meshach in Ezekiel as well. So we see all of them. And Meshach, also known as Mosach, the name is associated with Moschi, another people from northeastern Anatolia. And they are frequently alongside Tubal in biblical extra-biblical text. So they've been elsewhere as well. So we'll get into a little bit more after this. But that's just a kind of an outline. We see all these people groups starting to come together. And then, oh, wait a minute. Now I see, okay, they all came from Japheth, and then they went here, and then they went there, and then we're going to see them later. So we're just going to patch all this together today as fast as we can. In the meantime, we got a break for the commercials and then the second half. All right, unless you're watching on YouTube, then there's not too many
commercials. Fast forward through the commercials.
Fast forward right through them. Lord willing, we will see you in the second half. But if we don't make it to the second half because the rapture came, make sure you receive Jesus today. It's real simple. Just say, Lord, I accept your blood contract for payment for my sins, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. So we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And we're back with this boring lineage.
Okay. Well, you know, David, I told you at the beginning, you know, the begat. But the thing is, I had never put it together, you know, and I think that's the important thing. So, you know, for you people out there that are new at reading the Bible, or even if you are experienced at reading the Bible and you skipped over it like I did for years, it'd be a good idea to go back and read it, because it has a meaning. Everything in there has a meaning. If it didn't, it wouldn't be in the book.
It wouldn't be in it. Yeah. Exactly. And God doesn't waste any space. So we've been talking about these. As a matter of fact, you know, we're going through them rather quickly. Don't really want to spend too much time on each one of the lineages, although we got 35 pages worth.
There's a bunch.
So if anyone wants it, I'll just send you the entire list of where they came from and all. We're just going to touch on them right now. Just thehiddenday@protonmail.com. thehiddenday@protonmail.com. And I'll just send you the document, the Word document with all this information on it.
Yeah, I've got a copy, and trust me, it's it's extensive. Yeah, well, normally when David sends me something, I do print it, but I always look down at the bottom to make sure about page count, because if it gets to like 10 pages, I'll just PDF it. And I pulled up the page count on this one, and I went, oh, my goodness.
Well, there's so many grandkids.
Yeah, it's going to take us a year to get through this.
Yeah, we don't have to go through all the grandkids, but they're on the papers if you're really that bent on it, and you can see where different people groups get their ideas and from. So I think we're on number 6 with Meshach, or Mosach, depending where you get that from. And that's associated with the Moski, which is another people from northeastern Anatolia. You haven't asked me where Anatolia is yet.
Well, where is Anatolia?
It's funny you should ask. It's actually like northern Turkey in that whole area.
All right. Another Israeli invading country. That's what that is.
Yep. So when we see these people and they're coming from Anatolia, and then we see Turkey and all there. And then the dude Tyrus, depending on your pronunciation, not so well known, so it's less clear in his identification, but some suggest there's links to the Thracians and other people of the Balkans. Okay, so Tyrus is sometimes associated with the Tyrcenians, which makes sense.
So that's up around Russia, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So in the Balkans, we'll see him over there. So we see it's all like Europe and the Northern European, a little bit of the Turkey, kind of the Roman Empire, if you would, the whole Japheth thing. And then we talked about the grandsons a little bit as well. There's even some links here that we have for the roles and lineages of them. So we'll back up. Historically, the Japheth's descendants are associated with the Indo-European peoples. So again, that includes the Greeks, the Armenians, various European tribes, and they are seen spreading across Eurasia, which again is Anatolia, you got northern Turkey, you got all of Europe, okay, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Black Sea. So that's kind of where Japheth's stuff was. So Islamic and Jewish traditions also provide some additional insights there as to Japheth's descendants. So the Sefer HaYashar, and that's Sefer is basically book, and Ha is the, and Yashar is upright. So the Book of the Upright attributes new names to Japheth's grandchildren and provides a more detailed genealogy. So this could also be, you could say the Book of Jasher. We say Yashar, Sefer HaYashar, or Jasher. Islamic tradition identifies Japheth's descendants as including Turks, Khazars, Chinese, Mongols, and Slavs.
I didn't realize that the Muslims are in China, or did they get chased out?
They define this people group. So they say basically all the Chinese, you know, which includes all of like the Oriental looking people. They're all kind of came off of the Mongols and then Japanese and Korean. They all came from one group of Chinese and just kind of grew into different ways.
Okay.
Just like all the, you know, Germans look different than the Spanish, even though they live next to them.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
But they say that it's the Turks, the Khazars. Khazar! It just sounds like a cool name. And the Mongols and the Slavs. So the blessing being given to Japheth in Genesis 9:27, may God enlarge Japheth and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, is often interpreted as a prophecy of territorial and cultural expansion for Japheth's descendants, suggesting they would play a significant role in the history of the world, which they have.
Yeah, and which they're going to.
Yep, they have all through history, and they will continue. I mean, we're the only people here, so I guess all of us together have to create history.
Right.
If we weren't here, there wouldn't be any history. My father always just says that I don't like people. It's like, but you're a people. Yeah, I don't like me either.
Goodness.
Yeah, wild sense of humor. That one. So, in summary, the descendants of Japheth are traditionally associated with a wide range of ancient people, primarily Indo-European and Europe and Asia. I'm not sure how the Chinese kind of fit into it.
Yeah, that, you know, whenever you were talking about Tibet, you know, because I know that region. I'm not saying I'm an expert on it, but I know that region. And I don't know. I guess it comes down to what you've always said, and that is that when the Muslims move in, they come in easy and, you know, they work their way through it. And, you know, anybody of the Islamic faith out there, I'm not trying to make fun of you or anything, but the thing is that they've got a pattern of going into different countries and eventually taking it over. And that obviously did not happen in China or in Tibet, but they're mentioned very specifically there with what David said. So I'm just wondering what happened, you know. I don't know. Maybe there was a war or something that happened, or I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
I'm lost. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't really look the same, so it's just kind of weird. I mean, everybody looks different across all the different races,
right?
But it's just interesting to see how. I guess if they're all sons of Noah, how did we? You know, why are they three different things like that too? Often wondered where the Asian groups came from.
Yeah.
So they suggest that it. Just one of the sons of Japheth. So they're, I guess, Indo-European in nature, as opposed to Shemites and then the Hamites. So we see Magog, obviously Gomer, we just talked about. the Sumerians, the Assyrian records. They believed to have been attacked Assyria in the late 7th century. Some scholars and antiquarians. Antiquarians.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Such as William Camden and Theophilus Evans have posited that the Welsh people are descended from the Sumerians and by extension from Gomer. So if you're Welsh, then they surmise that you are from Gomer. And so the theory is based on a similarity between the Cimmerians and Cymri, Welsh names for themselves.
Okay, we're all over that area right now, but I haven't heard you mention Ireland yet, and that's kind of where my ancestry is, so I'm trying to figure out where we fit in this stuff.
I think, isn't the Welsh over by Ireland, too?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. Okay, so yeah, they all kind of mixed together. So you got the Anglo-Saxons, and they all came in. I think it was a couple of different tribes that came in, and then mixed with the Vikings, because I'm British, but I can go back in my lineage to 200-300 A.D., and it's all Vikings from when they invaded England.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Matter of fact, I think, I've told you this story that I'm actually a descendant of Frosty the Snowman, right?
Yeah. You mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah.
Caught me off guard with that the first time. Yeah. I don't know.
So yeah, you may have heard this before, but I want to hear it again.
Well, let's do it again.
Yeah. So back into Viking people, I don't know where they came from. They're obvious. So we got to see. They're sons of Japheth, obviously, because they're Northern European. But it talks about there's a series of, they call them kings. Now, they weren't kings as we think of giant nations today, but they all had their tribes and they were kings of the tribes. Kind of like we see, you know, in the Bible and stuff. And they, one around 100, 200, 300 AD, there's a whole lineage of them. And they, I think, were, you know, descendants of some of these Scythians as well, because they were huge and they were really big fighting men. So, and they actually have a painting of a couple of them that we see from historical records, which is very interesting. And then they have documented historical records of how they were not only giants, but they would hire giants from all over to come and fight for them. And then you see the pictures of them, and they're giants. Now, Josephus testifies to that. He says, "Dude, you can go over here and look, and we still got the skeletons of the giants."
Yeah, they sure had the bed and all that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. So Josephus talks about that. So they were known as the fierce fighting snowmen of the north. Okay. And they would all name themselves something cold, okay, in whatever Dutch language they had back then. But one was snare, which is snow. One was, his name was Icicle. And I forgot what it was in the ancient Dutch. But this is what they named their kids because, like, oh, they name them cold because these other people can't fight in the cold and we can, so that's really cool. And we're the fierce fighting snowmen of the north.
Oh, boy.
And then one of them was named Frosty. It's like, and then I looked at that, I'm like, so I'm a descendant of Frosty the Snowman?
That's awesome.
That's interesting.
That's great.
It's documented history. I'm not making it up. But that's probably where the legend came from. You know, we get Jack and the Beanstalk, they have the same legend. They climb up into the sky.
Right.
They had that story was around long before the British. And it was, you know, it's a true story. They would actually get up there, and then the giants were there, and the giants were known to be able to smell blood. So that's where they get that. Their heightened senses. You know, these Nephilim people, they were able to do that.
Right.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. So they were able to do that. So, and I think some of the descendants back there came from that, which is just fascinating that we're not taught this stuff in school.
Right.
Where did Frosty the Snowman come from?
Yeah, that didn't come from.
I want to know where, Crisper or whatever his name is. Krampus. You know who Krampus is?
No, what's Krampus? Who's Krampus?
All right, so there's a story of, we know St. Nicholas.
Yeah, yes.
St. Nick was cool because he was one of the early church fathers, Saint Nicholas, and he did love the kids, and he would go around and give stuff, but he was so protective of the gospel that he actually punched a guy in the face because he was a heretic. That's our Santa.
I can't see Santa Claus hitting anybody, but you know.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. He knocked him out cold. That's how he got famous. All right, but then there's this. There's the demon that followed him around and tormented kids that were bad.
Scrooge.
You know, so this story grew up with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Similar. Scrooge was based on John J. Astor here in New York City, by the way.
Okay.
I can tell you that one too. Super on stories today. But yeah, Krampus is like this just evil demon looking thing. So if you were a good kid, Santa would come by and wouldn't punch you in the face anymore. They got that part out. But he'd give you gifts and all this stuff. And but Krampus would, if you were bad, he'd come and steal you and take you away. So he terrorized the kids. So we kind of eliminated that from the American version.
Yeah, cleaned it up quite a bit. Yeah, I got you.
And the one we have now is kind of the Coca-Cola version of Santa. That's the one in the 50s. They like, hey, let's make him look like this. So that's the one we got now of Santa. But he punched the guy in the face for being a heretic. So he loved the Lord, the original one. So what was I talking about?
I can't remember now. I can't remember now. After you mentioned Frosty, I went south.
Frosty the snowman. Yeah. So we see all of these stories coming down through history and how they get changed. So I figured let's go back and bring this back. Where did all these things come from?
Well,
so
I think Magog, it's important. Yeah, you're about to go into Magog, but again, I think it's important because people do skip over all this begatting stuff, you know, and as I said, if it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in the book. And, you know, I mean, you've already explained several things today, and I'll just let you go on from there. But, you know, I wanted to make that clear. Please read it and then do your own research on it. And it's enlightening. It really is. Go ahead, yeah, David. You were about to get to Magog.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what it says. Yeah. Now we have a prophetic significance of Magog, as we talked about. He is in 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, and from the land of Gog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there you go. We got the sons of Japheth right there. And the prophecy describes a future invasion of Israel, which we talk about all the time on the show, and a coalition of these nations led by Gog, who is from the land of Magog.
Right.
So now you know Tubal, Meshach, all sons of Japheth.
Okay, and they all named cities after their kids, right? I mean, basically. I mean, there's some that aren't. There's some that aren't, but there's a lot did. I'll put it that way.
Yep. Yeah, and it's sometimes it's not even just the name of the city. It's the fact that, okay, well, this is where those Magogians lived.
Our country, so, I shouldn't have said city. It's basically countries.
But the Scythians are there too. And so they think the Scythians is Magog. And those are the people that, shoot from the horses backwards. Which is interesting because then you got the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then it's like, oh, that's interesting. Some suggest that the Gothic peoples are Magogian as well, who migrated from Scandinavia and settled in various parts of Europe. So it's the Goths had a significant impact on the fall of the Roman Empire and establishment of the medieval empire as well. So maybe some of those cousins, you know, came over the Gothics, and they came from Scandinavia. That was scandalous. Then they have these Slavic and Baltic peoples. So there's a lot of Magogians going on. He had a lot of descendants.
Yeah, I mean, all that that you're describing there is all right around Russia. I mean, if I've got my geography correct, it's all, a lot of that was a part of the former Soviet Union. A lot of those countries that you've been listing.
Yeah, so you see that Japheth took up there, and then you see Ham took basically all of Africa, which is huge. Okay, absolutely huge. It's like three times the size of the United States. People don't realize that sometimes. Africa's huge. So they got a lot of land down there, and then the Middle Eastern is a little bit different. So that's interesting as well. And there are theories that link Magog to ancient Asian tribes, including the Tungusic people of Siberia and the Mongols. So these connections suggest a widespread influence of Magog's lineage across Eurasia. So that's how they're connected to Japheth. If they're Japhethians, they come down through Magog. There's not really a detailed list of his sons, but various extra-biblical sources and different traditions offer different names and lineages, like the Liber Antiquitatum Biblicarum. Go ahead and say that.
Yeah, that one was rough.
Yeah. I'm glad you had seven sons of Magog, although that's debated. So you got Baath Mach Magog. This is what you were talking about, the Irish. So the Baath Mach Magog. That's okay. Where the Mach comes from, son of.
Okay.
Beth or Boath, the son of Magog, Mac. Anything Mac or Mick in Ireland is son of.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, those are terms I'm used to right there. Okay. Go ahead.
So in the Irish world, Baath, son of Magog. So this Boath or Baath is listed as one of his sons, and a tradition links Magog to the ancient Irish race, suggesting a broader European influence. So yeah, Magog got a lot of kids going on.
Yeah, sounds like.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, you of course remember Phineas Farsad, right?
No.
And the Tuatha De Dananna. and other Irish chronicles, such as the Aricept Naances.
No, just ask me about Bunratty Castle or something. I can handle Bunratty Castle or, you know.
Something like that. I think they speak English today, right?
Dirty Nelly's Pub. I can tell you about that.
Yeah. The Blarney Stone. I got it all. So I got some Irish in me as well. So basically, there's a lot of other Irish chronicles that include Magog in the lineage. And then so that further emphasizes the role of the European mythology. So, I mean, with all these names, it's funny because you got that tiny little island over there, you know, and then another little island next to it. And they all speak English, kind of. But that, you know, like they're 3 miles away and they speak a completely different language.
you know, it's crazy.
You got the Welsh, which is kind of like England, and then you got the Irish. How do they do that? So it reminds me of when you know, I was walking down the street over there, and I saw these two ladies, and I said, and I just heard their accent, and I said, excuse me. Are you two ladies Welsh? And they go, excuse me, it's Wales. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you two Wales from Welsh?
Oh. Bad move.
But that didn't go over really good. You really got to learn the language before you go. Yeah, we're not going to, since Magog's the most that's talked about in the Bible. We already saw the couple different things. So the Islamic tradition, it's Magog is often associated with Yajuj and Majuj, who are mythical tribes mentioned in the Quran. And these tribes are described as causing chaos and destruction. There you go. Must be Irish, right?
There you go.
And their release is associated with the end times. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, whenever you really get into it, and I don't know how much further we can go to in the study today, but when you really start thinking about it, that's really what the what Islam is all about. It's causing chaos. I mean, yep. You know, I'm not trying to offend anybody out there that's Muslim, even though we hope that you'll convert to Christianity before it's too late, mm-hmm. but everywhere they go, no matter what the country is, it ends up exactly the same, and it's never good, you know. And the extreme of it, I can say this and feel confident about it. The extreme of it is represented in Iran, and partially also in Afghanistan with the Taliban. You know, that's the extreme of it because of the fact that they, you know, they everything is about Islam. I mean, everything. It is, what do they call it, David?
Caliphate.
Yeah. I mean, that's all that they is yeah, that.
That's just the people in power.
Yeah.
The, that's actually right now is the fastest growing revival in the world is in Iran because the people are great, but they were forced into Islam over there.
I think they were tricked into it, don't you?
Yeah, tricked into it. Oh, it's the religion of peace. No, it isn't. And different things like that, and then forced into it. So yeah. A lot of people just say it just so they're not killed.
Well, I'm just remembering. You know, I study history, and I just remember 1979 when they did become this Islamic state. Before that, they had the Shah of Iran, and he was basically forced out by the revolutionaries there. And this Ayatollah came in from England, if I'm not mistaken. The Shah came here, and that's how we became the big Satan, all that, right? I mean that's just my recollection of it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, and then they knew Carter was a wimp, and like on the morning Reagan was inaugurated, they let them all out. That was funny. So the bottom line is this. The medieval European legends often depict Magog as a giant or a warrior and sometimes associated with the fall of Jerusalem, which is pretty much what the Bible says. So all of these other legends reflect the enduring fascination with Magog's prophetic role. So they will play a crucial role in both Bible prophecy and historical narratives, even at the end. So even at the end of the millennium, for 1,000 years, Gog and Magog are going to come back again. And that's going to be weird. It's like,
didn't he
rule for 1,000 years in righteousness?
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Real quick, we'll hit the Medes because we always hear about the Medes and the Persians. But that was Madai, the third son of Japheth. And we see him in there too. So the Medes were Indo-European people who initially habitated the regions of northwest Iran, particularly around the Zagros Mountains. Okay. They were first mentioned in the Assyrian records from the 9th century BC and played a significant role in the power struggles of ancient Near East. Then they had a conflict with Assyria. So the Medes initially were subject to the Assyrian Empire, but rose to prominence after the fall of Assyria in the 7th century. So they formed a powerful alliance with the Babylonians, leading to the eventual destruction of the Assyrian capital of Nineveh. We all know about Nineveh.
Heard of that. I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, Nineveh. So Jonah went over there. And so there's actually legends of the time. They actually saw a huge solar eclipse at the time. And they worshipped the sun god. And that was a sign to them. And that the sun god was blocked out. And when Jonah came at the right time and said, no, this is the true God, that's why the entire country repented, because they no longer had faith in their sun god.
That's incredible. Yeah, God works in mysterious ways, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell everybody how they can be saved by not worshiping the sun god.
Well, I'll do my best here, and I think probably the best way to do it is to put this up on the screen. If you have yet to receive the gift of salvation, just admit you're a sinner, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and confess with your mouth that you believe in Him, and let Him come in and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you'll do that, it's really simple. You just do it in your own words. But if you do that, you will be saved, and you don't have to worry about anything anymore. We'll see you next time if we're still here. If not, we'll see you in the air or in heaven. Good night.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.